I called again, said Arthur, and she said that he was 3.2 light-years from the phone, and I should call back. Ah. I called again. She said the situation had improved. He was now a mere 2.6 light-years from the phone, but it was still a long way to shout. You don't suppose, said Fenchurch doubtfully, that there's anyone else we can talk to? It gets worse, said Arthur. I spoke to someone on the Science magazine who actually knows him. And he said that John Watson will not only believe, but will actually have absolute proof, often dictated to him by angels with golden beards and green wings and Dr. Skull footwear, that the month's most fashionable silly theory is true. For people who question the validity of these visions, he will triumphantly produce the clogs in question, and that's as far as you get. Oh, I didn't realize it was that bad, said Fenchurch quietly. She fiddled listlessly with the tickets. I phoned Mrs. Watson again, said Arthur. Her name, by the way, and you may wish to know this, is Arcane Jill. I see. I'm glad, you see. I thought you mightn't believe any of this, so when I called her this time, I used the telephone answering machine to record the call. He went across to the telephone machine and fiddled and fumed with all its buttons for a while, because it was the one that was particularly recommended by Witch magazine and is almost impossible to use without going mad. Here it is, he said at last, wiping the sweat from his brow. The voice was thin and crackly with its journey to a geostationary satellite and back, but was also hauntingly calm. Perhaps I should explain, Arcane Jill Watson's voice said, that the phone is in fact in a room that he never comes into. It's in the asylum, you see. Wonka the Saiyan does not like to enter the asylum, and so he does not. I feel you should know this, because it may save you phoning. If you'd like to meet him, this is very easily arranged. All you have to do is walk in. He will only meet people outside the asylum. Arthur's voice, at its most mystified, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Where is the asylum? Where is the asylum? Archangel Watson again. Have you ever read the instructions on a packet of toothpicks? On the tape, Arthur's voice had to admit that he had not. You may want to do that. You may find that it clarifies things for you a little. You may find that it indicates to you where the asylum is. Thank you. The sound of the phone line went dead. Arthur turned the machine off. Well, I suppose we regard that as an invitation, he said with a shrug. I actually managed to get the address from the guy on the Science magazine. Fenchurch looked at him again with a thoughtful frown and looked at the tickets again. Do you think it's worth it? She said. Well, said Arthur, the one thing that everyone I spoke to agreed on, apart from the fact that they all thought he was barking mad, is that he does know more than any man living about dolphins. Chapter 29. This is an important announcement. This is Flight 121 to Los Angeles. If your travel plans today do not include Los Angeles, now will be the perfect time to disembark. Chapter 30. They rented a car in Los Angeles from one of the places that rents out cars that other people have thrown away. Getting it to go around corners is a bit of a problem, said the guy behind the sunglasses as he handed them the key. Sometimes it's simpler just to get out and find a car that's going in that direction. They stayed for one night in a hotel on Sunset Boulevard, which someone had told them they would enjoy being puzzled by. Everyone there is either English or odd or both. They've got a swimming pool where you can go and watch English rock stars reading Language, Truth and Logic for the photographers. It was true. There was one, and that was exactly what he was doing. The garage attendant didn't think much of their car, but that was fine because they didn't either. Late in the evening, they drove through the Hollywood Hills along Mulholland Drive, and stopped to look out first over the dazzling sea of floating light that is Los Angeles, and later stopped to look across the dazzling sea of floating light that is the San Fernando Valley. They agreed that the sense of dazzle stopped immediately at the back of their eyes and didn't touch any other part of them, and came away strangely unsatisfied by the spectacle. As dramatic seas of light went, it was fine, but light is meant to illuminate something, and having driven through what this particular dramatic sea of light was illuminating, they didn't think much of it. They slept late and restlessly and awoke at lunchtime when it was stupidly hot. They drove out along the freeway to Santa Monica for their first look at the Pacific Ocean, the ocean which Wonka the Sane spent all his days and a good deal of his nights looking at. Someone told me, said Fenchurch, that they once overheard two old ladies on this beach doing what we're doing, looking at the Pacific Ocean for the first time in their lives, and apparently, after a long pause, one of them said to the other, "You know, it's not as big as I expected."